So I'm not much of one for being about resolutions, you know, the New Year's resolutions thing at all, simply because it doesn't seem to work for me. The best way for me to make a resolution is just to do it now, not wait for a new year or a new decade to surface. Let me just get set up here. See a question up there. Here's a question for you, though. Do you take time to reflect on your where you are spiritually or in your spirituality? Do you take time to think about that? Like seriously, like serious time. I don't mean like, you know, you're driving, you know, to the mall and so how am I doing? You know, not that. I'm talking about some real serious, am I going in the direction I want to go? Because we all hit those, life is gauged, we measure life in time, right? In time. Seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks. And certain ones carry significance with it, right? You know, when you turn 16, significant time in a person's life. Here, anyway, because we get our driver's license, right? Or some of us do, anyway. You know, there's other age. You know, a lot of people, when they hit a certain decade into a new decade, you know, I hear people bemoaning when they turn 30. Like, oh, please, really? Like, it's like, get over it. I wish. You know, there's what I would call time posts or markers in our lives that where it does cause us to reflect. You hit. Hey, don't think for a second that I go in my head, oh, yeah, a year and a bit from now I turn 60. And when I hear of people who are dying in their 70s, I can do math. I can't do complicated math, but I can do math. And that does cause one to think, to consider, how am I doing in my life? Am I heading in the direction I want to head? So these are, year ending, year beginning, is another time to reflect. Now, if you get too busy and you don't, you just end up doing this busy life. You're doing stuff, but not really thinking why you're doing it, or and especially when it comes to our faith. Are you maturing on that trajectory that you want to be on, or are you going to come to the end of your life and go, I wish, oh, if only, because that bites. if that happens, I don't want to be like that. I never want to be like that. When I was in my other job, you know, I heard a lot of the guys who would go, they knew exactly that they had, you know, 11 years, 2 months, 3 weeks, 1 day till retirement. And it was like, really? You're living for that day? What about all those days in between? Like if life is no good, if you're not happy now, like get out and do something else. Like don't live for then. You might get there and life is over. Like and it was just for me, it was just like, no, I'm not gonna be like that. I'm not gonna do that. So reflection. Question, a good question to ask about our journey is, in this past year, were you aware of God's presence in your life? Were you aware of that? Now, the tricky thing is, how do you define God's presence? What's God's presence to you look like? Is it, because it matters. If you define God's presence as those good things that happened in my life, God was there, that's a dangerous slippery slope, right? Because then, if God's present in the good times, well, what about those bad times? God not there? You know, those type of questions. And so it's a good, were you, and not only God's presence, but were you aware of when God was present to you? Were you, did you notice? Did you hear? Did you see? And what does his presence look like to you? See, those are questions that go through my head, you know? What does it look like? So we're going to just do a little bit of reflection here. But we got to set some ground. In order to do reflection as far as how is the faith journey going, you got to set some, not ground rules, just a baseline that you have to set, a standard. And who is it we're talking about when we talk about God? Because I am fairly convinced. That doesn't sound too convincing, does it? I am fairly, well, that's because as you get older, you're just not so certain. You know, you just, there's always provisos, right, in what you say. I'm pretty certain that we tend to naturally make God into our own image as opposed to letting God be God and acknowledging we talk about God's greatness, but God's infinite greatness, what that means, that if God is truly God. So we set a baseline. One of the good places to go if you want to explore just what do we mean when we say God is to go to the names of God. And the one name I want to go to today is found in Exodus, and it's when Moses got tapped on the shoulder by God to say, hey, I want you to go to the most autocratic world leader, and I want you to tell him to let my people go. And I totally understand Moses going, right, I can't do that. I'm not doing that, right? You think of it, try and picture in your head the most autocratic leader in the world right now and getting tapped by God. Go and speak to that leader and tell them, let my people, God says to you, let my people go. See how much courage you have in you. That's what happened to Moses. And Moses said, God, if I go to the people of Israel and I tell them that God has sent me, they're going to think I'm crazy. I don't know what to say to them, God. And so in Exodus 3:14, God says to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I am. Now, that name, names mean something with the Hebrew people. Names mean something with a lot of cultures, not necessarily ours. Sometimes we pick names because they just sound nice, or they're the trendy thing to name our kid. But names meant something back then. Like people who were, as they were given a name, it carried something into their future as they got older. God says his name is I am. He's not God of I was, not the God I will be. He speaks of God as I am. I am. In other words, God is present. It speaks of his infinity. It speaks of that he is outside of time, that wherever humanity goes, God is present there. It is that. So there's a baseline to set who we're talking about. There's the baseline. And I want us to reflect. What I want us to do is I'm gonna read out to you from Psalm 145. And I want us to reflect. Because God as I am, in the past year, God was I am to you. Going into 2018, God is I am to you. To me. He is the I am. But there's another baseline. I'm going to change things up here a little bit. Just sensing a nudge. I'm going to follow the nudge. But I could be wrong. There's another name as well. And we use it at Christmas time. And it's a significant name. And the name, along with the name of I Am, carries huge weight, huge ramifications, huge implications for us as we live out our lives. And that is the name. It was found, it was three times it was mentioned in Isaiah, once in Matthew. And that name is Emmanuel. God with us. With us. If God is the great I am, and also Emmanuel, God with us, as we say that God is, because we'll say it, we'll sing songs that declare it. We'll say that. But if that is so, then God must be like the air that we breathe. It's everywhere. You can't escape it. You go out there, it's present. You come in here, it's present. You, no matter where you go down into the subway in Toronto, air is present. Regardless of where you go, God's presence is there. That's a reality. His presence is there when you receive good news or when you receive devastating news in your life. He is there when life is just going along tickety-boo, and he is there when your little red wagon gets spilled all over the place and you wonder what happened. And God's presence has to be there, because if that is not so, if he is not the great I am, those words, those names become sentimental names found in a Hallmark card. Seriously, that's all they become. If they are real, if it's true, then God's presence is there. He's there. He was there. God's presence was there in 2017. Think back this year. And God's presence is here right now. I don't feel God, though. Doesn't matter, right? God's presence is here. In 2018, will God's presence be there? Absolutely. Absolutely it will be. Where I tend to go wrong is I ask the wrong questions. Case in point, and I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again. Back just before I turned 4 years old, in a serious car accident, I was hit by a car, I was a pedestrian, and I was in the wrong, but I was just a wee little kid in a bad car accident, and, you know, 7 weeks in the hospital, multiple surgeries, blah, 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 all that stuff, right? I could ask the question, which I hear from time to time from people, where were you? Where was God when that happened? Where was God? Because if you tell me that God was present, why didn't God protect me? Why did God let my parents let me go with my brother, my big brother, to get an ice cream cone? Why didn't God stop me? Stop them. Stop my brother. Why did God send that woman along who hit me? Those are questions we ask. And I would posit they're the wrong questions. They're actually not the correct questions to ask. Now, it would be a spectacular story if I could share that I got hit by a car, multiple broken bones, somebody came along and said, and spoke, you know, announced that the kingdom of God was here, and said, and commanded my body to be healed, and I stood up, and I was totally healed, and the power of God was displayed, and that would be an amazing story, wouldn't it? That would be amazing. Didn't happen. Didn't happen. I got the scars to prove it. Didn't happen. And one would be tempted to say nothing spectacular happened. But I would say to you, yes, it did. Because the question is, where was God? How was God present that day? And I've shared this with you. Just after my mom died 3 years ago, I was chatting with my sister, Pauline. I forget where we were. And I wanted to ask. My family is one of those families that doesn't talk about certain things, right? You know, we just don't. You know, medical history, we don't talk about that stuff, right? It gets embarrassing at times. But we're, you know, we're a private family, right? And we never talked about, we've never talked about my car accident that much. Just little bits. But I talked to my sister. I said to Pauline, I said, so, like, what was that day like? Because she was 9 at the time. She said it was terrible, Scott. It was terrible. She said, you have no idea. And she said, and as we're talking, she says to me, because my mom and dad were at home, and they got the call that I had been hit, and they came down to the scene. And she said, well, you know what happened, right? No. I said, no. She said, oh, when they got there, you were on the road. You know, the cars were all like, it was like, you were on the road. They're waiting for the ambulance to come. Because my parents were only like, we were only like a quarter mile away from the accident scene. And she said, you know, you didn't know what mom did? I said, no. What I was expecting was, oh, crazy mom did something crazy. What did mom do? Do I want to know? You know, it was like, she said, yeah. She said, mom went over to you and laid down beside you. And honest to God, I felt like all the wind got sucked out of me. I was stunned. I was shocked. I was dumbfounded. I was dumbfounded because it was like, I have never, it was like I was faced with something I couldn't describe in words. The depth of love that was shown to me, like honest to God. When my sister said that, I was like speechless. I had no words. I didn't know what to say. And it was like all of a sudden I was in this, it was like all these realities were hitting me. Reality of how much my mom loved me. Reality of how much God loved me. Reality of how much my mom loved God. Reality of how much God loved my mom. There were so many realities that were hitting me that, and the one reality was, here a bizarre thing, you know, I don't know what I looked like looking at my sister. But the one thing was, you know, Jesus' words at the end in Matthew, where he, you know, the Great Commission, and the last thing he says to his disciples, and I will be with you to the very end of the age. That's what he says, right? It was like this. It was like, you were serious. That was the thought that went through my head. You're serious, God. You're really with me. Really? Those aren't just words. Those are you really. And the most it was like, oh. And also befuddled. What's better, to be healed or to experience the depth of love like that? Like seriously. What's better? And my thought is that there is something far greater and more powerful than anything miraculous that could happen. And what's greater is encountering God's love. That honestly, that is greater. Because when I consider that story, when I consider that incident in my life, I go, I even now I can't find words to describe it. But God was very present to me. I just asked the wrong questions. I just wasn't letting God show me where he was present. And when I allowed that to happen, it blew me away. It blew me away. You see, you set that baseline, and then some of what we read in Scripture begins to make sense. It makes sense. It makes sense as I reflect, because how many here had just a beautiful, just a wonderful, no problems at all this past year? You didn't have anything, nothing go wrong, nothing upset you, you didn't have illness, you didn't go, nothing. Just, no. Guess what 2018 has in store for you guys? We don't know. I have received, you know how you sign up to different emails and different, so some of the stuff I've signed up to, you know, one phrase I've heard more than I really wanted to hear in the past few weeks, 2018 is going to be your best year ever. Maybe not. Like, and I don't think of myself as a skeptic. It's just, gosh, I've gone through 58 of these years. They've been good, good, but they've been not necessarily easy. That's for sure. When I was three, in my fourth year, it would have been good had I not been hit by a car. But something more powerful happened, though, that year. Something way more powerful. So as we go into the next year, question, will you be aware of God's presence? Will you allow God to reveal his nature? Will you allow God to reveal his love for you? Will you allow that? Will you let him show you how he moves and operates in this world? I can go off on a tangent here, but I'm not going to. We're going to go right back to Psalm 146. 145, I'm sorry, 145. In Lectio Divina, we're not going to exactly do that, but we listen to the words spoken. And you listen for a word or a phrase that seems to stand out. Because this is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. I'm going to divvy up 145 in three sections. Because in Psalm 145, it appears that David, who wrote this psalm, is actually doing reflecting, speaking about the past, speaking about the present, and also speaking about the future. Now, if you need to silence your phone, if you're like me and you hear that buzz, and isn't it funny? Every cell wants to just check that phone, right? So bizarre. Silence it. If you need to close your eyes, close your eyes. If you're going to go to sleep, leave your eyes open. Okay? Leave them open. But if closing your eyes, the reason closing your eyes is just, it's not a spiritual thing. It's just sort of distractions gone. It's sort of like you take your phone and you put it in sleep mode. You know, you don't let anything distract. And you're just putting yourself in a fully giving your attention to God and to allow the Holy Spirit to speak. I'm going to read to you, I've actually divided up Psalm 145 7 verses each. But I want you to hear the word of God as I read it to you, and as you reflect on this past year. I will exalt you, my God and my King, and praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. I will meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor and your wonderful miracles. Your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. I will proclaim your greatness. Everyone will share the story of your wonderful goodness. They will sing with joy about your righteousness. If there is a word or a phrase that has come to mind, I just want that word or phrase and set it aside. Just put that off onto the side. Or if you have a piece of paper, write it down. God is also the God of today. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation. All of your works will thank you, Lord, and your faithful followers will praise you. They will speak of the glory of your kingdom. They will give examples of your power. They will tell about your mighty deeds and about the majesty and glory of your reign. For your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You rule throughout all generations. The Lord always keeps his promises. He is gracious in all he does. The Lord helps the fallen and lifts those bent beneath their loads. Again, whatever word or phrase came to you, set that aside along with the other one. The great I Am is also the I Am of our future. He is the I Am of 2018. God is already there in 2018. Hear the word of the Lord as you consider your future. The eyes of all look to you in hope. You give them their food as they need it. When you open your hand, you satisfy the hunger and thirst of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in everything he does. He is filled with kindness. The Lord is close to all who call on him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth. He grants the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cries for help and rescues them. The Lord protects all those who love him, but he destroys the wicked. I will praise the Lord, and may everyone on earth bless his holy name forever and ever. Whatever word or phrase came to you, set that aside with the other two words or phrases. With what you have put aside, those three words or those three phrases that you wrote down, it's what the Holy Spirit has spoken to you this morning. Those are the words to carry into 2018. To take those with you, knowing that you serve a God who is the I Am and a God who is with us, Emmanuel. I now want you to hear the psalm through the lens of those three words or phrases. And then we'll close. Hear the word of the Lord. I will exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. I will meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor and your wonderful miracles. Your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. I will proclaim your greatness. Everyone will share the story of your wonderful goodness. They will sing with joy about your righteousness. The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation. All of your works will thank you, Lord, and your faithful followers will praise you. They will speak of the glory of your kingdom. They will give examples of your power. They will tell about your mighty deeds and about the majesty and glory of your reign. For your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You rule throughout all generations. The Lord always keeps his promises. He is gracious in all he does. The Lord helps the fallen and lifts those bent beneath their loads. The eyes of all look to you in hope. You give them their food as they need it. When you open your hand, you satisfy the hunger and thirst of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in everything he does. He is filled with kindness. The Lord is close to all who call on him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth. He grants the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cries for help and rescues them. The Lord protects all those who love him, but he destroys the wicked. I will praise the Lord, and may everyone on earth bless his holy name forever and ever and ever and ever. God has spoken to you this morning. Whether it be one, two, or three words or phrases that he's given to you, God has spoken to you. Did you hear him? Did you hear him? You take that away. You walk with that into 2018. We don't know what life's going to throw at us. Not a clue. Don't know. But we do know that God is with us. We do know God is the great I am. We do know that. He's our Emmanuel. He'll always be our Emmanuel, no matter what we face. And we can be a people of confidence. We can. We can be a people of joy. Not because of life's circumstances, but because of the God we serve, because of how God loves us. We can trust God is for us. His compassion is more than we can understand. In 2018 will be a great year, not because of what's going to happen, not because of what we're going to have to face, but it's who we face it with. That's what makes 2018 great. It's who we face it with. And that's our hope. And that's what we sing about. That's what we pray about. That's how we live our life. And that's the truth, folks. That's the truth. That's reality. That's real. That's real. So I bless you guys. I bless you as you go about this year. That you will know the presence of God. That you will experience the presence, not just in gatherings, which you do, but also in the good times and bad times, through other people, through your family, through little kids, through older people, through nature, through the awe-inspiring deeds that God has done, through all those stuff, that you'll experience them. I bless you guys. I bless you. So, have a happy new year. Seriously. Have a happy one. Enjoy. Love your family. Love each other. And by more than all of that, love God with all your heart. Love Him. He's a good God. Happy New Year, guys.